Let my tree bear good fruit so I can be used by you.
You are hearing this song, Used by You, from my dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their latest album, Share Your Love, Volume 2, wherever you stream your favorite songs. I'm recording once again from my studios here in Hilliard, Ohio, powered by The Spot Athletics. I can't wait for you to meet today's guest. Thank you for listening. Make sure to like, share on all your platforms. For now, let's get into today's episode. All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio. And I've got a returning guest again, and she's not in her closet this time. She's actually here with us. Demi, could you introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I am Demi Michelle. I am many things. I'm a songwriter, recording artist, a podcast host myself, and I'm also an author trying to get literary representation. I'm currently querying agents. But I am a very creative person all around, and I love everything I do.
You said it all. You've got two bachelors, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are you working on your master's now, too?
I graduated with my master's last June.
Goodness sakes. All right. So we talked. I looked it up. Demi, it was October 24th. I'm sorry, 2021.
Yeah.
October 24th, 2021. So it's almost been 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's been a year and a half at least since we spoke last. And I genuinely mean this. It was one of my favorite interviews.
Oh, like, thank you.
I'm telling like 200, and it's not a brag, not a brag, 240 interviews. This was literally one of my favorite ones because I just felt like we were both kind of connected in terms of where we were in our life at the time and what our dreams and aspirations were. I just always genuinely loved our episode. So thank you for doing that. And thanks for coming back.
Of course. I'm honored to be here again.
That's awesome. So I can't believe it's been a year and a half. So in the last year and a half, just to bring everybody to speed again. So you've got two bachelors, you graduated with your master's. Let's just go back in time. October, 2021. What did you have at that point? Because I don't think you had your master's yet.
No, that was when I was finishing up with my thesis and getting everything together. I had just released my debut album, Dear Diary, right, on October 15th of that year. So it was right after I talked to you. And yeah, I was really focused on school at that time, getting my manuscript ready and getting ready for graduation the next year and working on new music, obviously. But I literally, like, then I had no idea, especially 2022 turned into a wild year for me. And just looking back, it's crazy to think, like, I was happy with where I was then, just releasing my first album and finishing up my master's soon. But there was no way of knowing. I had no way of knowing back then, like, what was coming. So
I don't think the new album was out just yet. Mm-hmm. But you were taking us through the process of what that was like, because, again, you were in school and studying, putting out an EP, doing a lot of things at one time. So it's out now. And again, what is the name of the EP and where can people find it? Let's just do that right now.
Yeah. So my new EP, It Is What It Is, came out in November of last year. And that's on all the platforms. So Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you listen to your music, you can find it there.
And so that's your second EP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dear Diary was my album in 2021 and It Is What It Is was my EP last year.
So an album and an EP, two bachelors and a master's in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to understand, like, this is, you're incredible. You're amazing. And I know we follow each other on social media and just keep up with each other there. But you're incredible what you are doing and do on a daily basis. And you've been on this, like, this world tour, as I've seen through social media, of award shows and other things. So, all right. So let's go. Let's rewind to 2021. The first album comes out. Let's just start there. What was next?
Yeah. So after that, I had one of the coolest experiences of my life. And then that was in January of last year. I was invited onto Pittsburgh's 1240 station, 100.7 Star, for an interview and airplay of Will I Ever, which was on my album. And this was wild because I grew up listening to The Morning Show ever since I was in, like, elementary school. And it was one of those things where, like, one of the hosts follows me on Twitter. So, like, she kind of knows who I am. She knows I'm a fan of their station. And ever since I started releasing music, I kind of just would, you know, keep her in the loop of what was going on without, like, asking for anything, because that's a top 40 station. I'm an independent artist. You know, like, it's very rare for, you know, them to go outside of their programming that they have to stick to. And so I was never like, can you play me? Can you do this? Can you do that? I was just like saying, hey, I released a new single, or here's my album, or whatever, and just keeping her and her co-host up to speed. And like January, totally weird situation. So I released my cover of Homecoming Queen by Kelsey Ballerini. And I was second guessing myself about sending it to her because that's a pop station and Homecoming Queen's a country song. And so I was like, well, they wouldn't really play this. That's not really the jam. But I was like, well, like, it's my new release, so whatever, I'm just going to send it. So I sent it on the Friday it came out. The Monday after that, I wake up to an email from Melanie inviting me onto the show that upcoming Friday. And I feel like I just reread the email like 5 times until it sunk in. And they started a brand new series where they're spotlighting a Pittsburgh artist every month. And I was the very first one in the series. And they played Will I Ever because I was more suited to the station. But that was like a wild experience and just a special memorable moment to be recognized by my hometown like that.
All right. So you're on a radio show locally. What happened from there? Did that launch you into much more, or what was the next step for you?
Yeah, I think that definitely kind of had a snowball effect, because that's something I was able to put on my EPK and press releases and stuff. And just being on a hometown station, like a top 40 radio station, kind of captures attention in a way. So that definitely helped me. Soon after that, I played at Hard Rock Cafe in Pittsburgh, which was really fun. I never played there before. So a couple other things. I did some other live shows around, but this was the time when nominations opened for the Josie Music Awards, like the same month I was on the radio show. So it was weird timing, but I've never submitted nominations before for anything. And I've known about the Josie Awards for a while. And I thought, you know what would it hurt? I'm just going to try to submit for it and see what happens. And so that's what I did. And in May of last year, I got 2 nominations for Pop Artist of the Year and Album of the Year for my album, Dear Diary. And that was wild because I've never gotten nominations before. So it was a really special moment.
So what I love, and I think this came out in our first interview, was you live unscripted. Like, you just go for it. I love it. So those things happen. What else happened after that?
So after that, what did I do? I was working on a lot of music because my EP was coming. I graduated with my master's in June. So pretty much from like, you know, halfway through that semester, probably March until June, it was just wild with school stuff. So that was a big focus for me. And then as soon as I graduated, I started deep diving into agent research to try to build up a list of agents to start querying. And I started querying the day after 4th of July. So on July 5th is when I started. So it's coming up on about a year. I queried my first manuscript. That was my thesis. And I got a couple requests, but no offers, sadly. And I just started querying my second manuscript. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think what I'm trying to keep in mind is that a lot of publishing is out of my control and it's really subjective. And I got that vibe from the music industry because some people like my music, some people don't. People have their interests and their tastes, and you can't really guess from a manuscript wish list what an agent's looking for. If they like thrillers, if they like fantasy, that's one thing, but maybe the voice of your manuscript they don't like, or the concept they don't like. So just because they represent your genre, it's hard to tell if they're going to like it or not. And so what I've been really trying to keep in mind is like just doing what I can control, which is keep writing. I've been revising another manuscript. I'm hoping to query in the fall if my second one doesn't get picked up. And just not losing my joy of writing during this whole thing and not taking rejections personally, because I was thinking about this the other day when I was looking for a new book to read. I was scrolling through iBooks in like the young adult fantasy categories and young adult thriller categories. And I would like read the blurb and in a couple of sentences, like I can know right away, yeah, I'm going to like this, or this isn't for me. And, you know, the big takeaway I kind of had, this light bulb moment of every single book I'm looking at on iBooks got published. It got an agent and it got published. So somebody liked it. But as a reader myself, like I'm scrolling through and there's ones that I'm like, no, that's definitely not for me. And it doesn't mean it's a bad story. It's just not for me. And so I'm kind of looking at the agenting side of things. It's the same thing. Like I just need to find the person who loves my book as much as I do. And just because it's getting rejections now doesn't mean it's bad.
When you say query, what does that mean?
Query is when you pitch to agents. I know it's a weird word.
I just want to make sure everybody understands like what that means, because you're doing that. And so you're pitching to agents. What does it mean to pitch to an agent? What does that process look like?
Yeah. So you need what's called a query letter. And these are quite a pain. So basically, you are trying to sell your book to the agent and they want very specific things. So you want to personalize it the best you can to try to capture their attention of like why you chose them to query and not another agent. Obviously, they know you're querying other agents, but you need a personal reason or, you know, just some reason to query them. Even if you don't know them personally or had an interaction, just something personally that draws you to them. And then they want like the metadata of the book. So they want what the title is, what the genre is, the word count. Word count's big because they look for books falling in a certain range. And if you're outside of that word count, that's like a red flag, which was an issue I had with my first book. I was too high, which is probably why I got a lot of rejections. Yeah. And the other thing that they want, which I just kind of learned about, is comparable titles, which is comp titles, they call it for short. And basically what this is, that they want you to find books published typically within the past 5 years that are similar to yours. So for example, I can say, you know, my book has the found family quality of X book meets the suspense / survival element of this book. So it's like showing where your book fits in the market. And after that, you do basically your blurb. So basically like what you would find on the back cover of a book. You're not spoiling the ending, but you're just giving enough about like who your main character is, what they want, what's standing in their way, and what happens if they don't succeed. And then at the end, they want a bio, like a very short bio about yourself, and then obviously the sign off. And then you really need to look at the agent submission guidelines, because after that, it's like some of them may want your full synopsis, some don't, some want page submissions, so like sample pages, but they'll say like first 5 pages, first chapter. So you really need to watch the submission guidelines because they're literally all different. And I think that's where I get like really anxious, because I'm very like on top of things, but like I triple check like what their submission guidelines are because I don't want to screw it up. And then you send it out and then you just hope for the best. And, you know, I think the way publishing is these days is a lot of times it's like no response is a no. And so it's hard to like think, did they even see it yet? Or are they just passing? And so that's part of it. And then the other thing that's really difficult is because of how jammed things are right now, like right. How packed people are. When you get rejections, they typically used to be some personalized feedback in there, but now they're just foreign rejections 99% of the time. So it's really hard to tell, like, is there something with the query letter that's not working? Is it the opening pages? But when you're not getting the feedback, it's impossible to know. And so it's quite the struggle. People call it the trenches, and it makes sense.
I was in Nashville about 10 years ago, and I've always wanted to write a book, and you've probably seen I've already got the title of my book. I was actually going to start working on it again today because it's been sitting on the shelf for about 6 months. I wanted to do this book, and I don't want to do it to get rich or be famous or anything like that. I just want to get it done for my family. You know what I mean? Like I want this like legacy book almost. And I was talking to a publisher friend of mine in Nashville, and he literally does this for a living. And he said, Aaron, there's nothing new under the sun. And that was 10 years ago. And honestly, for like the last 8 years, I just kept thinking about when he said that. And he wasn't saying it to discourage me.
Right.
He was trying to encourage me by saying, what's going to make yours different?
Right.
You know what I mean? But I share that story because it's like, this is a long process. And honestly, while you were talking, what's amazing to me is you're doing this in two lanes, two of the most difficult lanes, music It's hard enough to break into the music industry.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you're also doing it as an author and trying to break into that. Do you find that you get discouraged? Because these, again, this is nothing to do with you. These are two of the most difficult lanes to succeed in. Do you ever feel like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Just before I got on, I got a rejection. Like, yeah. I got an email and I looked at it and I'm kind of numb to them at this point. Yeah. And like when I started, like I got a little like sad, and obviously I'm so sad about it, but I'm trying to remember that it's subjective and it may not even be my story. There was one agent that was kind of like a gut punch a little bit because it wasn't my story. She said she couldn't take it on or read more because she had a client working on something too similar. And so there was nothing wrong with my story. It just, she couldn't take it on because it would compete with her client. And so like when you get these form rejections, like it can be that, like there's no way of knowing if they hate my writing or they just have something too similar on their list already. But it definitely gets discouraging. I feel like I get discouraged when I get a lot of rejections in a row. Like yeah. It'd be like crickets for weeks and then five in a row. I was like, oh God, like not again. Yeah. But I did like, I got upset a little bit when I got rejections on request, because that's basically like the last step between you and getting the agent or an offer. So when you send the query out, you don't send your full manuscript. They request after that. And so if you get a request, it's saying that, oh, they're interested in this, and then waiting on responses after that, it's like, this can be either an offer for representation or rejection. So those ones hurt more, but it's just, it's definitely discouraging at times. But, you know, like I have author friends, which is really nice. Like the writing community, especially on Twitter, is super nice when you find the right people. And one of my friends and I, like we talk all the time because she's in the same boat as me. And it's just nice to know that I'm not the only one going through this. Mm-hmm. And I have author friends who've recently gotten agents and they've been doing it for a couple years. And, you know, one of my friends just got an agent and she's like, yeah, like it took me a while, but like I got the one. Like you just need one. Yes. You just need one person to represent you. Sure. And so like seeing other authors succeed is kind of giving me hope. Like, I know my writing's good. I know I'm talented. I've been told that. Like I've had beta readers, I've had editors look at it, and my mentors from school. It's just, I need to find the right person. And I don't know when that time will come, but I hope it's out there.
I don't doubt it. I think one of the things that you and I connected with so much on our first episode, I'll mention it again, is although different lanes, it's the same. You know, I tell people when I coach them about podcasts, because, you know, people know and I have one. So they reach out and they're like, hey, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, awesome. It's the loneliest thing you're ever going to do. You know what I mean? And I really genuinely, again, like my friend said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same with podcasting. And it's the same with probably what you're doing. It is lonely because you pour your heart and soul. And I'm not saying this for more clicks on this podcast. I'm just saying, I think most of the podcasters I talk to that aren't named Joe Rogan, you know, like, you know, the rest of us just down here trying to do our thing.
Yeah.
It really can get lonely. And you put an awesome episode, this episode, I'll put that out there today and I'm going to believe it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Right. But then you watch the stats. And I'm not a stat watching guy. I'm way past that at this point. Mm-hmm. But when you're first starting out, you're trying to know, is anybody listening? It's like standing in the woods and yelling and hoping somebody hears you. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what podcasting like. And I feel like that's what it's like for you too, sending out these manuscripts. You've poured your heart and soul into this, or, you know, a new single or a song you've written. Mm-hmm. You pour so much into that. And the people on the other side, the receiving side, I don't know if they realize how damaging, I don't want to say damaging, that's not the right word. They realize what, you know, a rejection email, like what that can do to your psyche. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah.
For you, like how do you do that? Because I know what I do. And you mentioned this. I'll say one more thing. You mentioned this. I encourage people when they're doing podcasts, do it for one person. Do it for one. And if you're okay that this interview today, somebody's going to listen to this. If it encourages one person, then we've done our job. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. Like if it changes somebody's life for the better, then we did our job. I'm not going to be Joe Rogan. And if I'm trying to, then I'm going to get really, really discouraged.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sorry for the long
No, that makes total sense.
Does that make sense? Like,
no, it definitely does.
Do you feel that way? Like, you kind of have to get to this place where it's like, you know what? You said it, and I do believe you're at that place. I'm just looking for one person to believe
in me. Yeah.
And that's exactly. Not even to make me a New York Times bestseller. It's just to believe in me, to believe that I have done great work. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think too, is like going back to what you said about being lonely, you know, like with my podcast, like it's lonely, but I get to talk to guests, like just like you do. And with music, like I get to talk to people. But with the book, like I'm writing it by myself. I'm in my room, you know, all in the quiet, writing it myself. People are reading it, but it's not a collaborative effort. And so that's such a solo thing. And I think, like, you know, getting to the point of being happy with writing and not losing that happiness, because if you start focusing on the business too much, and like all the discourse going on Twitter lately has been like very bad in publishing, like very bad. And I don't want to lose my love for writing,
right?
Because that's literally what's keeping me going. Even if I would get an agent and a publishing deal, like I plan to do this for the rest of my life. It's not just one book, you know, I need to keep writing. And that's the same thing with music too. Like anytime I'm in like a toxic situation with music or any kind of situation, relationship or whatever, I try to separate myself from that because I don't want to lose my love for music. And that's the same for authors, being an author too, and just trying to find that right person and not getting discouraged with the rejections, even though they definitely can hurt from time to time.
Have you thought about self-publishing?
I have, but the thing I'm hesitant with that is I'm an independent artist and I really don't think I could manage being a self-published author
at the same time.
I just can't, like, I can't do it. And also too, it's like, I feel like I don't have the knowledge necessary for the publishing industry to do that. Like the music industry, but it's a little easier to get a handle of, but publishing feels like just so large scale and scary to me. I definitely would consider like smaller presses, like indie presses too, but I've like always dreamed of seeing my book in Barnes and Noble. Like a big five publisher has always been my thing, so I'm not giving up on that yet, but it's definitely difficult, but I'm still trying.
I saw a thing recently where they said just put out your book. You know what I mean? And I'm not telling you, I'm certainly not the guy to advise you because my book's not out. Like I told you, it's been 6 months since I even visited. I have the title. The title's awesome. The book's not done, but I do have the title, not a cover even. But I did see something where somebody said, just put it out. Like, I think people, and again, this is just some TikTok video. So take that for what it's worth. But the guy said, like, just publish your book, put it out, like start making money, start growing your audience, start getting people identified with you, because the reality is you probably already have a following and they're going to follow you no matter what you do because they love you. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's a very short version of this really like long session talk I intended. But, and I don't even know if that's right. I thought, well, there's some merit to that because, you know, I'm still over here trying to get the second half of a book that I probably could have put out part one and just at least started connecting with my audience, get a voice, get an audience. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. And you're in two very difficult things. Yeah. So I'm not encouraging either way. Just having that conversation.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is really interesting is that if you self-publish a book and then want an agent, that could kind of backfire because when you submit, they want to know how many books you sold with your self-published. And so they want like debut authors typically like, with no books published. They even ask, like when you fill out the forms, there's a box you have to check saying this book was not published. So like, even if I would share a chapter on my blog, on my website, like that would be considered published.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's the kind of line you kind of have to walk a little bit, but it's definitely a place where I'm still learning things. Like that's the other thing too. I'm looking at like my first book, it didn't get an agent. But I learned so much during that process. And so I'm not looking at that as a failed attempt. I learned what querying was, how to do it right, how to connect to agents. I learned, you know, the right word count range, how to, you know, craft opening pages to hopefully grab someone's attention. Like I learned so much. I went to conferences. I'm currently in a course right now with an editor. I'm like just trying to learn as much as possible. And You know, I learned so much in my master's program because it was focused on writing popular fiction. But it's one of those things where, like, you can learn the theory, but you don't really understand until you're, like, doing it. And so I learned so much from that first experience. So I'm taking everything I've learned into what I'm doing now to hopefully get better results.
If you had to pick one, would you do songwriting or book writing?
I would probably pick songwriting just because it was my first passion. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd have to go with songwriting.
So when I watch a Netflix thing and I see Taylor Swift, you've probably seen some of these clips, right? Where Taylor's working with, you know, the guys in the studio, and she's Taylor Swift, and she's working with, right? I mean, we know. But at the end of the day, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. I don't know how people write songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't. I know you can write a blog post. Like, I write them, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how to write a song and then yet sit in a group or a studio or with musicians. Musicians amaze me. You're a musician. They absolutely amaze me. Mm-hmm. It amazes me. I like, it's just a foreign concept to me that I cannot understand, but it's remarkable to watch. Like when Taylor Swift is like, hey, I was thinking this for the second chapter. Next thing you know, this guy's over here and he's dropping a beat into it. And I'm sure you've been in there, and it's just amazing to watch. Have you experienced that? Like, where did that come from? Were you just blessed with that?
So I grew up loving music, and I think I had just a natural talent for piano when I was young, because when I was like 9 or 10, like this was before I started lessons, so probably like 9 years old, I was at my cousin's house, and it was one of my cousin's birthday, and they had just like a keyboard, and I sat down, and after my cousin played Happy Birthday, I basically like played it back by ear without any lessons. Wow. And my family was like, we should probably take her to piano lessons. And so it started with that. And then I did choir in high school. And then it kind of just like evolved from that. I studied music in college. But in terms of like writing songs, I feel like a lot of it, I think, comes from being a writer too, like of books, because I was a creative writing major too. And I think writing books and writing songs, they're different, but you still have like a character who's ever singing the song, and a concept and sensory details and imagery and a theme and whatever. And so I feel like everything I learn as a writer, I brought into songwriting. And it's definitely something I think you can learn, because I've definitely taken classes with songwriting, done retreats to get better. But it was more of a natural thing when I started. But in terms of like, you were talking about, you know, being in awe of other musicians, like, that's how I am with my guitarist and drummer. Yeah. I just sent my guitarist a demo for a new song that I'm going to be recording in a couple of weeks. And I've worked with him long enough now where it's like he basically reads my mind, and like my drummer does too. And so like whenever they're on my songs, like I give them references and just kind of say what I want, and then they just totally smash it. And it's like so incredible. And I'm super hands-on in the studio too when I'm working with my producer. I program a lot of the instruments and I play a lot of things. And like just the collaborative effort with him is really nice. So I think just finding musicians you work well with and that understand your vision is really important.
So because you're an author, have you found that country music tends to be, in my opinion, more storytelling than hard rock?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or rap or any other genre. Is that number one, is that fair, your experience? And two, is that the lane that you've chosen, or and what lane have you chosen?
Yeah, so I completely agree with you that no genre tops storytelling like country. Like country is all about the stories. And I think like speaking about the genre I'm in, I'm definitely pop and country. I do both. And it's really interesting because that's definitely something that can be frowned upon. Like, stick to one genre, don't do both. But I'm nominated for multi-genre of the year, multi-genre artist of the year at the Jersey Awards this year.
Wow.
And so that's a category that recognizes multiple genres. I'm also nominated for Musician of the Year for piano, and my podcast is up for Media Company of the Year, which is wild. But just going back to the multi-genre thing, like I've had people close to me basically say, don't do that. And, you know, for me, it's like, number one, I love storytelling, and that's basically in all my songs. Like if you listen to some of my more like poppy songs, there's definitely a storytelling aspect to it. And so I think that's why a lot of people call my stuff pop country, even if the production's more pop, like it has a country element with the storytelling. And so no matter what genre, like the songs get produced in, it's going to have that golden thread of like my life and my storytelling. Mm. Because when I write a song, the last thing I'm thinking about is genre and production. I go in typically with a concept, usually like lyrical ideas, and then build it up from there, write a melody. So even when I start writing songs, I have no idea what genre it's going to be until I start to think about how I want it to be produced. So I think that's really interesting. Like with my songwriting process, not focusing on the genre is a big deal, but making sure that all my songs are authentically me, and that's why they all sound like me, because they're from my life.
I love how you're so humble, because you're just like, yeah, I was up for, you know, I'm up for these. So let's talk about that, because I don't want to just blow right by that. Like, I'm going to go ahead and brag on you a little bit. What awards are you up for, and how can people help?
So I am up for the Josie Music Awards, which are taking place at the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville in October. So I'm up for Multi-Genre Artist of the Year, Musician of the Year for piano, and my podcast, Right on Track, is nominated for Media Company of the Year. So that's that. And I'm also nominated for the International Singer-Songwriter Association Awards, which are taking place in August in Atlanta. And I'm a finalist in 5 categories for that. Vocalist of the Year, Vocalist of the Year, Rising Star, Single of the Year for Afterthought. My EP, It Is What It is up for Album of the Year, and I'm also up for Songwriter of the Year. So voting is up to a panel. So unfortunately, nobody can vote, but
so we can't for the ISSA Awards. American Idol, we could just like flood the phone lines.
I hope, no. But no. For the ISSA Awards, the first round was fan voted. So okay. Once I got nominated, it was fan voted for the finalists. And I was nominated in 6 categories and I got voted into 5, which was insane. Because again, this was my first year trying for that one. So.
That has to be helpful. So to go back just a few minutes ago where we were talking about, you know, podcasting being lonely and sending out those letters and sending out the queries and what you called, that has to be helpful because again, you're in 2 very difficult lanes. So in my opinion, if not, you should look at it that way is I might not be, you know, receiving success over here, but look at the success you're having over here.
Oh yeah.
And success is relative. But at the end of the day, you're being recognized, mm-hmm. regardless of if you walk away with the win or not. And I hope you win every one of them. I hope you get the clean sweep.
Thank you.
But at the end of the day, it's relative. And
yeah.
And you're being recognized. And that alone has to be so satisfying. So does that put fuel in your tank while you're, you know, looking and being, you know, disappointed in the author side? That has to be encouraging to you on the other side and the other lane that you are in, which is music.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. And I've been thinking about it too. And like I released my debut single in 2019. And wow. I would say my first big kind of success moment was probably when I was interviewed on my hometown station, which was January of last year.
Wow.
So it took me over 2 years
right.
to get that. And so like just looking at the author side, I started pitching agents last July. It's not even a year yet. You know what I mean? And so I've been trying to think of it that way. Like these things do take time. I'm not going to wake up and all of a sudden have a book deal. So that's something. But yeah, definitely the music stuff is keeping me going. It's making me really excited and something to kind of keep my happiness levels up. Like when I'm getting rejections on the book stuff, because, you know, the planning is really fun. Like I just got my dress for the Atlanta Awards and then I'm going to go get my Josie Awards one in a couple of months probably. And I have friends going to both awards and I'm really excited to see and just getting really excited for the whole thing. Cause that's the thing. Like when I went to the Josie Awards last year, I didn't win, but I think last year there were over like 40 or 50,000 submissions. Like it was crazy. Wow. And only 1.8 received nominations. So like the fact that I even made that list blows my mind.
Yeah.
And so just going like, there was like a red carpet thing. They had media on the red carpet and it was like really overwhelming. I always wanted to go to an event like that, but just like being in it, I went with my guitarist and I was like so stressed out. He's like, calm down. I'm so stressed out. I remember it was so funny when we were getting our picture taken, like on the record, but when we first started on, with my luck, their camera stopped working, like right at. So like they were like, just stay there. So like the line's held up. Luke and I are just standing there waiting for I don't even know how long. So it was like really like high stress, like definitely like sensory overload going on, but it was really fun. And I think now that I've experienced that once, like in Atlanta and Nashville this year, I think I'll be more prepared because again, like nothing can really prepare you for something like that.
Yeah. It's so fun to watch again through social media. I've watched, and the other thing I'll tell you is I don't know if I've ever seen you have a serious, like any mean tweet.
I'm sassy, but I'm not mean.
No, never. I mean, you know, every now and then, I mean, pretty much anybody that you follow, at some point they have a bad day or
yeah,
a moment, and they, you know, they fire off a mean tweet. I'm myself a little bit. I try not to get in Twitter wars, but I've never seen you in a Twitter war. I've never seen you have a mean tweet. I've never seen you be mean spirited.
No.
You're just a wonderful follow. So, based on that, where can people follow you? What are all the links?
Yeah, so the best place to find everything is on my website, which is demimschwartz.com. That's demimschwartz.com. You can also type in demimichellemusic.com and that will take you to the same place because I have both domains. And Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, same handle at demimschwartz. And if you just type in demimichelle, my name will come up. On Twitter, you'll see the butterfly emoji and on Instagram too. So you can find my music on there and my podcast Right on Track is on there. I run a blog on my website. So that's all there on my website. So yeah.
Tell me about your podcast.
Right on Track is turning 2 years old tomorrow.
Well, that's right. And you are too. Wait a minute. Wait. Hang on. Not two years old.
I'm turning 2 years old.
But you do have a birthday tomorrow, correct? You have a birthday because you tweeted that at me. So yeah. You have a birthday tomorrow. You're not turning two. You're turning another age. I don't even want to get into that. I don't want to get into that thing right now. But no, you're turning another age. You're turning
26.
You have a birthday tomorrow. Well, happy birthday early.
Thank you.
I get to spend my Memorial Day evening with you and celebrate your birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. Thank you Absolutely. So much.
And so your podcast is 2 years old. Sorry for the interruption, but it reminded me that tomorrow's your birthday. So,
yeah, so Right on Track is turning two. There are 118 episodes out, which is insane. I'm booked through July, going into August. And it's just been like such an honor because when I started it, I just thought this would be a side project. Like it was during the pandemic when I got the idea and I was like, okay, this is going to be something just for my friends and I to do when we're bored or whatever. And literally like, I think there were two episodes out when a publicist reached out to me, like two episodes. And I like wasn't expecting that. And so like I had to go from like one episode every other week to two. At one point I had to like triple up just because there were so many like requests coming in that like I honestly like, in the past, like, year, I would say, I've only reached out personally to a handful of people. Everybody else was from, like, a publicist or a manager, like, personally reaching out to me to be on. Wow. And so it's been, like, really special to see people showing interest in it and just having incredible conversations, too. Like, I've had guests email me afterwards saying, like, thank you so much for making me feel comfortable on the show. And like, there's some that we got into pretty vulnerable topics and they were like, I felt comfortable talking to you. And it just felt like a breeze. And that just makes me feel so happy because when I went into the show, I wanted it to be conversation based, topic based, like where anybody can just bring up whatever they wanted. Sort of like this, not like strict, like Q&A, like not like that. And so it's been really great to see listeners enjoy it. People share the episodes, talk about it, and the guests. Like, I have so many returning guests too, which is nice seeing people wanting to come back on and me kind of being on their PR list. Like, can I come back? You know, it just makes me really happy. So, I can't wait for the third year of the show.
That's awesome. Like, you're such an encouragement, and I'm not surprised that the podcast does well because you are easy to talk to. I think that's why our interviews flow so well. Because you kind of get me and that I'm not the Q&A structured guy.
If
that's what you were looking for, I'm not the show for
you. Yeah, no.
So, thank you.
It makes me anxious too. Those shows make me extremely anxious because I feel like it's anxiety inducing because you're just getting questions fired at you, for one. And number two, like I did one interview the one time that was very strict Q&A based, and they asked me a question and I gave like a very thoughtful answer. And then after that, they just moved on to the next question. And I felt like super like not validated, not seen. I was like, does what I say even matter? And so like, that's what I'm trying to keep in mind, like on the show, even though we are having just conversations, you know, like every time they say something that was like deep or whatever, like I try to acknowledge it in some way just so they feel seen and not just like, oh, that didn't matter.
No, you definitely matter. And I'm really glad you came back on tonight.
Yeah.
So a couple more questions. Do you, when people search for your music on the various platforms, what should they look for?
Demi Michelle.
Demi Michelle. But your website, and you said you own both domains. Do you have a preference? Because your website's different, right?
Yeah. And so my website is demiamschwartz.com, but I bought the other domain to link to it just because it's easier to type demiamichellemusic.com because that's what people know me as. But yeah, people ask me like, why is it Demi Michelle Schwartz? Because the reason is I am registered as a songwriter under my full name. And when I get published, not if, because those terms gonna happen.
I love that answer.
When I get published, it's gonna be my full name. And because my website is basically a home for everything, I just wanted it demiamschwartz.com. But I have demiamichellemusic.com as well for specifically music stuff. When I'm doing music specific things, it's just easier to direct them there, but it takes it to the same page.
Well, you're going places. I speak it into existence. I really do. It doesn't surprise me that one day you're going places, whether it's a song you've written, a song you've recorded, a book you've written. I look forward to being at a concert and hearing a song you've written, or being at a concert and seeing you perform one of your songs, or being at Barnes & Noble and buying your book. I'm gonna put it on the gram. I don't do selfies, but I will do one for you when your book is at Barnes & Noble. Because I just want to speak into existence. You know, you're doing it the right way. We live in a reality world society where we watch shows and we all think that we can be Joe Rogan of podcasts, or we can be the next American Idol, or the next The Voice, or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a million reality shows out there and they show this rags to riches story. And that's not the grind for most people. Mm-mm. And you are in that grind, but I think you're finding success. And I do believe you have a healthy balance of understanding that rejection is a part of a very difficult process, but you stay encouraged and you keep doing you. And I know, again, I'm gonna take that selfie at Barnes & Noble. I promise you it'll happen, and I don't do selfies because they'll nobody will see that. But I will be there with your book in hand, or again, you know, celebrating.
I'll send you a signed copy.
Oh, that would be awesome. But I actually want to go to Barnes & Noble just so I can say that I did. And I know your book is here. So you always have a place with me and with us here on this platform.
Awesome. Whenever,
you know, the five or six people that listen. You're always welcome to come back because I just enjoy our conversation. I really enjoy you. You just have such a wonderful spirit.
Thank you.
And no matter what you decide, whether it's music or books or author or songwriter or whatever's next for you, because I don't think you're done yet with other things.
No.
Don't ever lose your spirit. You know, that's the biggest thing I guess I want to say is don't lose your spirit, because you've got a very comfortable spirit about you. And I don't want to ever see you lose that.
I won't. Promise.
Okay. All right. Last question. Why butterflies?
Oh my gosh. All right.
You weren't ready for that one, were you?
So I've always loved butterflies, and this became my thing very unexpectedly. So when I was writing my song Will I Ever, which was the first single off my album, I wrote the song, and the second verse of it was different before I recorded it. I rewrote the second verse literally 2 weeks before I recorded it. And that's when I wrote the lyric, I fall for dreams, trust butterflies, keep counting my clouds, but they don't add to nine. And that was a new lyric that I put in there. So after I released the song, before I released the song, when I was doing a photo shoot for the single, I was in downtown Greensburg, where my school is, and like it's near Pittsburgh, where my university is. And there is, I literally kid you not, I didn't even know this existed until my photographer showed me. There's a butterfly wall, like downtown Greensburg. Wow. And I was like, no way. She's like, we got to get a picture with you in front of the butterfly. So that became the artwork. I'm standing in front of a butterfly. And after that, I just like, I put the butterfly emoji in my name. And then somebody like offhandedly called me Queen Butterfly. Mm. And then it became a thing. And then one of my fans said, like, why don't we call ourselves butterflies? And so that's what I call my supporters now. They're butterflies. And so that just became a whole thing. Oh, and so awesome. Butterflies are a big part of my brand. And also, like, I'm really happy that butterflies are special to me because I think their symbolism is really important. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they symbolize the transformation and going from, you know, think about the caterpillar to a butterfly. Like, in that transformation, it can be painful. It can be the unknown. But there's beauty in transformation. And that's something that I've undergone, I feel like, throughout my life, and especially over the past few years, not being afraid of transformation and the unknown. And also, butterflies, they symbolize hope and freedom and a lot of other beautiful things. So I think it just fits me as well. So that's the butterflies.
I agree 100%. I'm glad I asked because I was always curious. So you are the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming back and waiting to come back. We've had to wait a long time to get back, but you are very busy and doing a lot of different things, but I just appreciate you. I really do. And I can't wait to continue to celebrate you. And I just want to continue to encourage you because your future is very bright. And,
thank you so much. It means a lot.
I'm very blessed to know you.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So much.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Unscripted Podcast. Please remember to like and share. We'll be back soon with another amazing guest. But until then, remember to live each day unscripted.